You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomel13. My co-host Wes Goldberg, unfortunately not able to be with us today, but we're recording this on a Monday evening because we have a special guest on the show. He's a writer for the Miami New Times, a former South Florida radio personality, and most importantly, a prominent member of Heat Twitter. It's Ryan Yousefi. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good. How are you doing today, David?
I am doing awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today. For our listeners that aren't as plugged in, Ryan wrote a piece earlier today for the Miami New Times, basically detailing why Pat Riley's quote-unquote plan B has been such a spectacular failure. It's a topic that we've talked about on this show a number of times, and we get so many questions from our listeners about Miami's future. We have opinions falling all over the spectrum. You know, they're a great team or one piece away or a mediocre collection of expensive talent. But Ryan, obviously, you tend to gravitate more towards that latter end of the spectrum. Why write this piece now? What was it that inspired you to say, this is important for me to put out? I need to explain to everybody why Riley's plan has been such a dismal failure.
Well, I mean, that press conference he gave after the draft, it struck me in a few ways. It just struck me as really sort of, I've never seen Pat Riley like that. He was just kind of dejected, and it's almost like someone did something to him. Someone made him, put him in the position where the Heat had their hands tied and they didn't have any money to chase the free agents like they usually do. You know, even the summers where, if you remember, LaMarcus Aldridge, they had no money at the time, I believe. And I remember they still got to sit down with him just to talk to him, maybe come next summer or with the Durant, a long shot. But they still sat down with him. This summer, Pat Riley was basically after a draft where, you know, for the second time in 3 years, they have no picks. Just kind of sat there and said, listen, it's going to be – this is it for 2 years unless something crazy happens, unless someone helps us out. And I just – I sat there watching it. I had to watch the whole thing after, you know, the next day. And I was just like, well, you did this to yourself. You know, it wasn't a secret at the time that maybe giving Tyler Johnson that much money – I mean, it was a weird time after, you know, everything that happened then. But it was just – you didn't have to give him that contract. You could have let him go. Now, hindsight is 20/20, but that's not the only deal. It seems like every summer the Heat are giving out contracts that are eaten away. – And everyone said at the time, well, they're locking themselves in. And all I continued to hear was that these are movable contracts. You know, they're in the $11, $12, $13 million range. Someone's going to want them. They can package them. That hasn't happened. And now what I'm hearing is, well, in 2 years, the Heat will be players again. And I'm thinking to myself, 2014, LeBron left. It's 2018 already. Those 4 years went quick, if you ask me. Now we're talking about 2 years from now, maybe, unless someone helps us out, and they don't really have. They're just starting to get their first round picks back. They're in a good way when it comes to first round picks going forward outside the 2021 pick. No second round picks forever, it seems like.
Yeah.
But it's just frustrating to see the Heat kind of put themselves in the situation where the Miami Dolphins are, where, you know, a lot of Heat fans are also Miami Dolphin fans, and the Dolphins, for Dolphin fan lives, have been mediocre, where they're not bad enough, not good enough. Football's different, much different when it comes to tanking and all that good stuff. No one's asking. I never was asking the Heat or wondering if they should tank. I just thought you should be building towards the future behind younger players. A 76ers, a Boston type of, you know, strategy where the 76ers were the tanking version of that. The Boston Celtics were the acquiring. It seemed like every time there was a three-team deal, Boston was in there getting something, you know, getting a second-round pick. Or the Heat, they just – it's gotten to a situation where it feels like, and I mentioned the article, it feels a lot like Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. I think a lot of people were surprised that I said that, but it feels like, and we have to, this was just the beginning of the article I said, it's time to have a talk, because Pat Riley's 73. He's not looking to do anything that's going to be when he's 76 and 77. He's talking about next year, this year, next year, and 2 years from now is far away for him. And we've all seen the articles where he's struggled with wanting to retire and go sit on the beach.
Driving far along Malibu, I think that's what.
Right. Yeah. He struggles with that side of him. So it's not crazy to think that he's not looking to build for the future. So I don't know. What's your take on that? Because I got a little bit of both. I was surprised that there wasn't more backlash, to tell you the truth.
I mean, I've seen a lot of people kind of complain about it. I think, again, it does show a little bit more of a pessimistic approach, but not too far-fetched, not too outlandish compared to some of the pessimism that we've seen in the past. I mean, a lot of people, especially last year before the 41 and 41 record, especially when they were, it was a 10 and 31 at one point, you're already looking ahead to the future. You're hoping that they're going to go ahead with a full-on tank, get a draft choice this year, or last year rather, when they selected Bam Adebayo because they had fallen to 14th. But I think expectations changed a little bit. And you're saying, you see, this is where I've got a little bit of a conflict here, because you're saying you never call for a full tank, but you do want them to kind of follow that same model of the 76ers and the Celtics. And with the Celtics, I don't know that there was ever a conscious tank necessarily, although they did trade away, obviously their three best players in 2012, when they were trying to compete with the big three Miami Heat era, and then they traded them to Brooklyn and they fleeced that front office,
Right.
But the 76ers obviously underwent a number of years of tanking.
Yeah. They're the poster boy for tanking.
Right. And it's successful. But, I mean, is that really something you'd prefer? Would you really want 15 to 20 win seasons for the next 4 years?
Never. And I would never want the Heat to do that, because, first of all, I know they'd never do that. So why would I even entertain that? Pat Riley is not going to tank. I think he somewhat tried that once, got burned with the Michael Beasley pick, and he said never again. Yeah. And that was how many years ago then that was that now?
2007, 2008. Yeah, 2007, 2008 season when they went 18 and 64, if I'm not mistaken, something like that.
Right. So you're talking about him being 63 years old, having all that, 10 more years in front of him at least.
Yeah.
I don't think that he thinks he has 10 years now. I think he's just kind of over it. He's been through it. He's looking for one more. It's almost like a drug addict. You want that one more high before you stop, before you go to rehab or something, And I think that's where he's at this point. And who can blame him? And I, on the other hand, I just wanted to have a talk about it, because I'm not caping for one side. I just wanted to throw it out there and say, listen, we need to talk, because if Pat Riley is going to sign Wayne Ellington to another 4-year deal for another $40 million, that's a problem, because that's not what the Heat should be doing, if you ask me. He's already 30 years old. I don't see how that helps anything, giving Wayne Ellington $10, $12, $13 million a year when he's not even a starter on your team. And he got torched in the playoffs. We saw in the playoffs that he had a hard time guarding those shooters. So I feel like they're – I'm looking at their salary cap situation for 2021 right now, and it's just – they've got a lot committed already.
Let's take a step back then. Let's say, would we be having a different conversation? Would you not have written this piece if, say, Dion Waiters had remained healthy and somehow pushed his team to a few more wins during the regular season and perhaps even to a playoff round one series of victory against the 76ers? Would we be having a different conversation, or would you still feel that their future is bleak?
Not bleak, just average. I think this is a good team.
What's average here? Because I mean, that's the whole thing. Is like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about ceiling, title contention?
No, we're talking about ceiling of second round, I think. Because it's not just who you are. The Heat in a vacuum are a nice team. You have to look at the landscape of the NBA, if you ask me, and be realistic. Because we're in a time where possibly the greatest team of all time is just running through titles, and they might get broken up in a few years, but if they do, who's to say they don't add pieces that are just as fine? It might not work out the same. But so you've got them. You're always going to have a Houston or another juggernaut out there in the West, at least one. Then you in the East, you're probably going to have – if you don't have LeBron in the West, you're going to have him in the East, either added to the 76ers. And if you don't get added to the 76ers are on the come, and so are the Boston Celtics. So the Boston Celtics, they might make – this year, next year, and the year after even, if they sign Kyrie, they might make this last year seem like nothing compared. And those are – I mean, we're not even mentioning the Torontos and some of the other teams that you could debate have a better future than the Heat. So it's just you're down the totem pole. A Dion Waiters healthy is not making – it doesn't move the needle for me. And they signed him when he was already hurt. They should have seen last year coming. It's just but I get the other side of it, whereas what are you going to do? You're not going to sign Dion Waiters, then – what are you going to do? But they put themselves in a bad spot here.
Well, we'll continue talking about the NBA landscape and how Miami fits in, whether or not they do have a bleak future, and whether or not Pat Riley or somebody else might be able to turn things around right after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, we're talking with Ryan Yousefi of the Miami New Times. So we're talking about Miami's place in the greater landscape of the NBA and what their ceiling should be. And I feel like part of it is, you made the comparison to the Dolphins, who, I mean, from our perspective, I guess, as longtime South Florida sports fans, the Dolphins have had a special place for most South Floridians based on their championship success in the 70s, obviously, and then Dan Marino's success in the 80s, and the expectations that there would always be more titles when it comes to the Dolphins. But the Heat, obviously, have won 3 titles already. They've contended for 2 more in addition to that. You would say that they've already been a very successful franchise. Aren't we expecting too much from this team to constantly be in, if not title contention, just shy of that?
I think they've set that standard for themselves. I don't think – I think if you come into a Heat season with anything other than title expectations, then it's not a usual – and I think that's part of what makes being a Heat fan extraordinary. As Dolphins fans can tell you, you can go from cream of the crop to looking back and say, where did the last 2 decades go real quick? And, if the NBA playoffs and the NFL playoffs are a little bit different. So there's lots of years where the Dolphins were just as good as this year's Heat. If you compare, they just didn't make the playoffs because that's the way it's set up.
Right.
You know, the Heat can finish under 500 and make the playoffs, just like a 7-9 team can make the playoffs sometimes, but I just wanted to have a discussion about the future of the Heat because I love the Heat just as much as anyone else as a fan, and I feel like there's a younger generation of Heat fans that they're so used to the winning, and that you get on Twitter and it's Pat Riley the Godfather, and it's this and that, and it's Heat culture, and it's almost like it's almost like communism. You can't talk ill of the state. You know, whatever Pat Riley does in that time, it must be the right thing because he's Pat Riley. Well, I think anyone could have called some of this stuff. Like, anyone could have told you that maybe Hassan Whiteside wasn't the guy to invest in. But at the time, it was, what else are we going to do? We better sign him because he's an instant trade ship. Well, we've come to find out he's Hassan Whiteside. He actually – his attitude got worse with the $100 million. Who could have predicted that? And not many teams are –
Let's take that for example. Should they have let him walk 2 years ago? He's a free agent. He's being courted by Dallas and the Portland Trail Blazers, who have their own problems. Should Miami have let Hassan Whiteside walk at that point?
Well, I think we see in today's NBA, if you are preparing for today's NBA, which – I think the Miami Heat should have taken into consideration. Hmm. You're not maxing out for $25 to $27 million a 7-foot center that really has never proven to be anything on the offensive end beyond a cleanup, type of guy. And it's especially somebody with his type of, his type of work ethic, his type of attitude, questionable decision making. I personally would have let him walk because I don't understand why people don't understand that you are not getting nothing. The Heat would have had that money to spread across the team.
No, they wouldn't have. I don't think that's how it would have worked. I think they already. Well, I mean, he didn't have a significant cap hold at that point.
They can go over the cap, but now years later, they're stuck with that money. That's money that they can go over the cap as taxpayers and all that stuff. And I'm no cap expert, believe me, but they've dedicated that money to him, so they're always going to be up against the tax paying because of that money. Sure. There's reasons why giving a 7-foot center that, like I said, has no offensive game to speak of, and every time he gets an assist, Twitter lights up.
Yeah,
20 and can't play a quarter of it. And, you know, a playoff game, that much money. It's just
– Well, the league has changed so much, and I don't think anybody foresaw it continuing on that trajectory 2 years ago. But we're also looking at it now in hindsight that it was a disastrous move because it was so expensive. But he was still supposed to have been, even at $25 million a year, a complimentary player to guys like Chris Bosh, Goran Dragic, and Dwayne Wade, who they were going to re-sign at that point before he ultimately signed with Chicago. I mean, that was 2 years ago. It feels like an eternity, and so much has happened since then. But at the time, it was supposed to have been a pretty solid move of building a legitimate playoff contender, maybe even somebody who could go on all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and, you know, with a LeBron injury or something along those lines, maybe even move past them into the actual finals. I mean, I think that's where everybody saw that team at that point in time, 2016. And then, you know, ultimately things didn't work out that way. Wade left, and then they had to reset as far as acquiring Derek Williams and Deion Waiters and James Johnson and others, and they matched Tyler. But that was, you know, the move itself wasn't a bad one. Look, we've been more than critical of Hassan Whiteside. I can't stand his attitude. I still think that injury has limited the kind of player he's capable of being, and I don't know how much of it is his body breaking down or whether or not he's just not fully engaged and never will be. We keep pointing out a statistic on the show that I think the team went 14-2 in games where he had three assists or more. So to me, Whiteside, the problem with Whiteside is his willingness to be or unwillingness to be a passer and playmaker and facilitator for others on offense. So there's a bigger issue there. He keeps complaining about playing time. It's like, well, he's not going to get the playing time unless he helps his teammates out, because he's just creating a disastrous sort of chemistry there for this team. But, you know, I think all those moves, if you look at them specifically, Deion Waiters, was it a bad move to re-sign Deion for that kind of money? Was it bad to sign Kelly Olynyk, who I think has been a great player? And you can still kind of develop the guys that you have on this team.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk's been, I'd say, probably of all those deals, he's the one, and surprisingly, because at the time, he was the one that got the most backlash, kind of.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the players you want to build around. You know, he's got a limited game at some points, but, you know, he's the type of player you want to build around. But the thing is with the Heat is that I can't complain too much about each individual deal. It's all of them combined that you've paid up for so many role players that you find yourself in an offseason where you're given a press conference where LeBron James is available and you can't even think about getting him to sit down, because why would he come to your team? And, you know, now you're in a place where
28 other teams are in the same position, Ryan.
Well, why would you want to be in that position? Why would you want to?
But there's only two teams that are legitimately in the running, and that's the Lakers and Cleveland. And 28 other people are bearing witness to LeBron's decision and going to be held hostage until he makes that decision in a few weeks. But at this point, we're all kind of looking on from the outside in, Miami included. And so the expectations that they should be in the running for the Durants, the Aldridges, the Haywards, and whatever big quote-unquote whale becomes available every summer – is ridiculous. I mean, and I think, frankly, if you don't have the kind of players on this team that make recruiting a possibility, I think that's going to be a bigger issue moving forward. It doesn't matter the contracts. It doesn't matter any of that, because we've seen with LeBron and others, if a deal wants to happen and enough players want to make that deal happen, everybody will fall in line eventually. I think they'll accept the sign and trade if LeBron wanted to come here. But I don't think there's anybody here capable of recruiting and making those kind of connections around the league where they want to bring in a player. That's more of a personal basis, I think, rather than an organizational one.
And that was another point of my article where I was just wondering, you know, and I've been talking about this on Twitter all day, where, you know, it's not sacrilegious to talk more about who had more to do with the Heat's last 15 years, Pat Riley or Dwayne Wade. I think that's a good – that's a sports radio topic because, you know, somebody was telling me, oh, the Shaq. Well, Shaq has said as recently as this week –
he wouldn't have come here without Dwayne Wade.
Right, and he said he actually wasn't a big fan of Riley and they fought, you know, and he was he came because of Riley and – you know, I don't think LeBron James ever comes to Miami if Dwayne Wade isn't here.
Absolutely not.
So there's a so I mean, what did we just say? We just said that the two greatest players to ever the Pat Riley ever acquired were directly, and I'm not directly Dwayne Wade was a direct reason for that. And I'm not saying that Pat Riley is by any means not the greatest GM president in the history of South Florida sports. And I do not want him to go anywhere, but I just think it's a philosophy where I wish I'm a believer in building things and building things the right way and no shortcuts. That's why I've been a fan of what the Marlins are doing. They finally said, let's tear it down and build it long term. That's why I was always a fan of what the Celtics were doing because they were acquiring and they'd get a piece and they'd control it and they'd young players, and if we win in the meantime, great. If not, we're not tied up in the future. I just don't see the point of locking up some of these players because they're not movable. Not movable contracts.
That's a good place to continue on our segue here. You know, what we'll talk about next, whether or not Miami does have a chance of rebuilding and starting new when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat with my guest Ryan Yuseffi of the Miami New Times. We're talking about Pat Riley's long-term strategy and what might happen next. So we were talking about other teams kind of rebuilding, Philadelphia, Boston in particular being, I think, the prime examples of how you rebuild a team. And Miami, it's too late for them. They've already made these mistakes. So let's look to the future then. What can Pat Riley and this Heat organization do in order to make this team better, at least in your opinion?
I think what a lot of people think and what is possible is that mid-season around the trade deadline, a Goran Dragic or if Whiteside, has a good season, those are the two players that you probably want to move, especially Dragic, just because he might have the most value at the time, and he'll be an expiring deal for someone in the future there. And Whiteside is just he's a center in this league, and unless he returns to the form that got him the contract, and he changes his attitude, I'm not sure how much they're going to get for him. But
yeah, well, I'll tell you, we've talked to a number of other Locked On hosts from around the league, guys with the Blazers, Mavs, etc., about trading Whiteside. So depending on when you listen to this show, they may have already heard those trade calls, and it's impossible. Look, obviously we're not the GMs for their respective teams, but the value on Whiteside is less and less, and I think that's even with teams that don't necessarily follow the Heat religiously. They don't see any upside to him because he just isn't fit in today's league. I'm not sure he's almost a 7-foot rim protector, but I think there are questions about his level of engagement and his attitude overall, his fitness, and I think it's going to be impossible for Riley or anybody else to make that move. I think.
To me, there's a core of five players that I think are part of the Heat's future. It'd be Bam Adebayo, obviously. Okay. Justice Winslow, mm-hmm. Josh Richardson. I think Rodney Magruder is a good player that, a good role player that they've groomed. He's inexpensive. He's not looking to be expensive in the future unless he has a great season this year. And then Dion Waiters is still young enough where he could be somebody you build around and have for a while.
You didn't mention
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah,
Kelly Olynyk is also somebody that's young enough that plays the kind of basketball, that you want from a center in this league. So he's another one. So that's almost half that's half an active roster of players that the Heat could build around, but they're going to be missing unless somebody like Bam or, it doesn't look like anybody's going to break out to be a star out of those guys. So I wish they would use the other half of the roster that I have a problem with to acquire assets to be in a situation where, if there's that generational talent at the top five of a draft come up the next 2 years, they can go get him. Or, if there's a player that becomes available in the free agency, they have the assets to trade. And it just kills me that they haven't put themselves in a good situation to go out and make Pat Riley type moves. Everybody wants Pat Riley to sign a whale, but you know, he can only get, like you said, it's all about players these days, and he can't say to LeBron right now, I'm going to go get Kawhi and I'm going to get you, you know. He can't say that. It's almost impossible, and they'd have no one to play around.
You don't think they're in the running for a Kawhi Leonard trade?
Unless he says he wants to come here, and I mean, I can't imagine them being anywhere near the top of that. I just can't. Unless the 76ers have so much more to offer, Celtics have so much more to offer.
Do they?
He would have to.
Do they? I mean, we talked about the theorized trade packages that a lot of people have reported out there, and obviously nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows what Leonard's intentions are or the Spurs front office intentions are. But they've mentioned already that they don't want to trade him to a team out in the West, although it appeared or was originally reported that he wanted to play for the Lakers or somewhere in L.A. anyway. So based on the 76ers trade packages and Boston's trade packages and what we've talked about for the Heat being maybe a total package of, say, Adebayo, Richardson, Dragic, and potentially a draft pick in the future, that seems like a pretty good amount.
It's not a bad deal. Yeah, it's not bad, but when you compare it to maybe a Jaylen Brown and like two first round picks,
yeah, but I don't know that Boston would go that high, even for Kawhi Leonard.
It just depends if they're willing to pay it, but they have the ammo. They could also do a Kyrie Irving for sure. Kawhi, you know, so that they've got top shelf stuff, and we're talking about, as much as I love Bam, he's an unknown. Josh Richardson is, you know, a great defensive player, but you know, if he's going to the Spurs, what are they really going to be? It's just that it's a big drop off for them. He's not exactly Jaylen Brown or somebody like that. So that's what I've seen. The trade deals I've seen thrown out there is like a Jaylen Brown, a first round pick. You know, it's probably going to be a three team deal no matter what, I'd say, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning more towards the fact that he'll just stay with San Antonio, because I assume that they'll always be able to fix it like they have so often in the past.
He can walk if he wants to next season, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
And just like, it feels like he might do what Paul George did, where he just says, all right, and I'll play out this one season and I'll do whatever I want next year. So I don't know. You saw that picture of him eating with Popovich, right? The meeting. He didn't look too happy about things.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess it's kind of like being called into like the teacher's office, and you kind of have to explain your behavior or something like that. Well, I mean, why have things broken down as quickly as they have? And that's such a convoluted, dramatic mess there with his uncle and team of representatives kind of putting things out there. So there's a lot of misinformation, I think. But you know, who knows? The situation could be an interesting one. It's certainly gonna, you know, add to a pretty busy free agent summer. Do you think that Miami is legitimately in the running for anything here? Obviously, you see the future is pretty bleak. Do you think they'd be willing to package some of those young players in the hopes of acquiring a generational type talent?
First of all, I don't really see the Heat's future as bleak. I see it as what it's been the last couple of years, which is like second round, okay, fun seasons that, you know, gritty teams that it's probably going to – I don't see how the Heat can't get better with Dion and Justice playing better. And Bam, I think they could definitely be a second-round team that, you know, say they lose a second-round matchup 4-2 to somebody, you know, something like that. That seems like a progression, which would be fun. But
not enough for you.
2 years from now, 3 years from now, I don't think that's enough for any Heat fan. I think that's enough for right now. But right now has been a couple years. I wish that they would put something together that would be ready for 3-4 years from now, but they have to get started doing that. You know, I wish they would – this season, what I'm looking for, I wasn't looking for them to do anything in the past. That's done. This offseason's done. If they can move Whiteside, that's great. My question in the article was, what are they going to do moving forward? Is Pat Riley on board with a 3-4 year project? Because that's what they need. Otherwise, what are you doing? Because you're not challenging anybody right now. You're just not. So they can either keep signing these contracts, give another one to Wayne Ellington, and say I'll move it, and then in 2 years we're gonna have all this cap space, and then when 2 years comes, you know, who are you gonna acquire in 2 years with all this cap space? You're going to rebuild your entire team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot can happen. It's an interesting conversation, certainly one we've had, like I said, a number of times here. And I for one, personally can appreciate what others would think is mediocre, as long as there's a level of engagement and effort there that we see on a regular basis. This season, I think, was much more difficult for me to handle than the previous one, where they really were so determined during that second half of the season and went 31-10, obviously. And I think Whiteside has been the biggest, you know, literally the biggest problem there because of his you know, level of engagement. And I don't like seeing that kind of effort. To me, as long as they continue to show that they're going to try their hardest, I'm kind of content with that, to be honest with you. I don't expect any kind of high playoff expectations. I don't think they're going to contend for a title or fall just short of that. And so I'm okay with them being, you know, a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine.
I'm not flying any planes. I'm not saying fire Pat Riley. I just wanted to have a conversation about, are they going to start being more towards the future type philosophy rather than a let's appease the fans these years and get those 40 wins and, oh, gee, we tried and we don't have LeBron. I'd rather gear up for the future, but really it's a philosophy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when everybody – I was – a fan of what the 76ers did, even though I knew the Heat could never do it, because sure. I said, well, you know, you've got the Heat out here. What are they going to do? They've been gearing up, and look what it paid off. They could have been a lot better for them if they made some better picks as well, you know?
Yeah.
They could be a juggernaut right now if they hit on some of the higher picks that really, in hindsight, they definitely should have. So it's just a philosophy thing, and I don't blame any Heat fan for just wanting to see the team continue to have first and second round exits, you know, or, you know, playoff runs, because that's fun,
you know,
but if one thing goes wrong, they're a bad team. You know, if Goran tears his ACL, God forbid, or something, they're just, you know, that season's over. So I'd rather see them play for the future and acquire some assets and be kind of like a fun younger team rather than a role player team that I guess it's just what kind of team you like to watch.
I guess
I'm more of a Bill. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I mean, the thing is though, even when you have a young team, they might never necessarily make that leap and progress to a really good team. And so you're kind of stuck with young teams that don't really go anywhere, as opposed to slightly older teams that might not go as far as you'd like them to, which I think is where we're at right now.
It's just a philosophy. Like, yeah. You know, the look what happened to Boston when they lost their best two players this season. They had two young players that they didn't tank to get Jaylen Brown. You know, there's so many conversations you could have about this because Pat Riley had the chance to get all those draft picks for Winslow, but he thought Winslow was his, you know, his Tatum, his Jaylen Brown, and it's turned out to be a little below that, but it's still, you know, to be seen.
Yeah, so. I'm confident there's another step for him to take, and maybe even a couple more steps, and I'm hoping he'll reach those. I think I saw this season some progress from him, not just as a shooter, but I think his personality, especially in the playoffs when he was as engaged as he was, and really quite
good. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was great. I mean, he was like an emotional leader out there and giving maximum effort, and I think that was awesome to see. But
if he plays like that next season, like he did in the playoffs with the 76ers, that's a cornerstone player. You know, that's a – I still can't believe some of his shots go in. They don't look pretty, but
no, they don't.
but they go in. And I mean, he plays the best defense on the team, maybe outside of Jay Rich. So,
yeah.
You know, but well, hey, it's fun to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do appreciate you coming on. I know that I probably kept you on too long. So that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. And special thanks to you, Ryan, for appearing on the show. You can follow all of Ryan's fantastic writing by regularly reading the Miami New Times. And he also has great takes on the Heat, of course, Dolphins, craft beer, much more. Ryan, give the listeners your handle so they can follow you on Twitter.
It's RizMigiz on Twitter. And it's RizMigiz.
There it is.
And you can follow me there.
One of the leaders of Heat Twitter. As always, you can reach us by
email. Not today.
not as popular as you'd been a couple days ago. As always, you can reach us by email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wilds. We'll catch you next time.